Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. This is Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so excited about what God is doing for us and doing through us. This morning, we're going to get into some teaching that will bring us back to the foundation of what our assignment is and who God called us to be. But before we go there, we would like Prophetess Crystal to lead us in our morning announcement and also in our morning prayer. Prophetess Crystal.
Amen. God bless you, everybody. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Just want to let you know, in the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m., join us live for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, and you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That is also our website. Please take some time to get to know us, Apostle, myself, get to know more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as get to know more about the sons and daughters that have submitted to our covering that are overseas in Africa, Pakistan, India, Nigeria, amen, Uganda, different places like that. And speaking of our sons and daughters, people of God, not only do they need your prayers, but they also need your financial support as well. Please take some time. As you notice on our website, we have a donate button. Please take some time, pray about what you want to give, what the Lord is asking you to give. In there is a white box. Put your information in there, be as detailed as possible, and we will make sure that your financial pledges get right to the proper place where it needs to go. Amen. And speaking of our sons and daughters, when we say not only do they need your prayers, but they need your financial support, amen, a few of them, not all, but a couple of them have Facebook pages. Two of our sons have Facebook pages letting you know about their orphanages and their schools and the support that they need over there. Please take some time to check them out and learn a little bit more about the ministry and the work that God has called them to do. We definitely want to be helpers of one another. Amen? Amen. Now, speaking of the Facebook pages, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. Go there, like us on our Facebook pages. Let us receive your prayer requests, your praise reports. Amen. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Even if you want to give a shout out to your church, wherever you are located, we would like that information as well. We want to know what God is doing in your area or in your region. Amen. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. I want to read quickly the word of God, just a passage of scripture, go right into prayer, and then let us receive the man of this hour, Apostle McQueen. The book of Psalms, chapter 62, starting at the first verse, book of Psalms, chapter 62, and the word reads as such: Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against the man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul waiteth thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doing of his word. And now let us look to the Lord for prayer. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now for this time. We thank you right now for this season and this moment that we stand before you. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and are glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for another day that you have given us, the activity of our limbs being clothed in our right mind. Father, we just bless your holy name in this place. God, as we come to worship you, to praise you, to honor you, to give your name glory, Lord, we just open up our hearts and our minds today to receive your word. We're looking, God, to receive direction. We're looking, God, to receive insight. We're looking, God, to receive answers in the mighty name of Jesus. Even now, Father, as the man of God comes, crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Give him the right words for your people this morning in the name of Jesus. Attune our ears, God, to hear what the Spirit has to say unto your people, the church. Even now, Father, I ask that you would begin to give us a spirit, a will, God, a will to do your will, a will to walk worthy of your statutes, a will to become obedient to your word, your way, and your message in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we just thank you for those who are our listeners, God, and we pray every day, God, that the words, the messages that go forth will begin to change lives, will begin to cause people to walk out their kingdom assignment in the earth. God, we're praying, God, that these words that we speak, God, are not our words, but that they're your words, that these words will begin to develop and train your people to begin to mature in the body, mature in your word, mature in your message, so that they too can become fierce warriors in the spirit realm, so that they too can understand your ways and your motives, God, that they will cry out to you, Father, to continually seek after you, so that their minds and their hearts will stay attentive unto you in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we just glorify you. We thank you for every sign, wonder, and miracle. God, we thank you for open doors. God, we thank you for birthing ministries. We thank you now for all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen again. Amen. Now, without further ado, let us receive Apostle Christopher McQueen with a hand clap of praise. Amen.
Amen. Let's give God a praise again. Come on, let's give God a praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're so grateful for the word. Thank you for the awesome prayer. I just want to reiterate and to reinforce some of the announcements that Prophetess Crystal has given us. Our sons and daughters over across seas, Bishop Wandera David, Bishop Joe Apamo Shiendu, Evangelist Isaac Ademigi, Uganda, Kenya, and Nigeria, respectively, they need your help and your support. And when I say that, the Bible says that when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord. So I'm not asking you to give me anything. I'm asking you to help us with these that are covered by our ministry. And with that, there comes the opportunity for you to lend to the Lord. And I like how that is worded, because it means that you're not lending to man, which means you're not trying to get man to pay you back. If I had to wait on man to pay me back for everything that I had ever done good, well, you know, we would be waiting still. Amen. So when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord according to the word of God. And they have needs there. There is a time when the kids will be going back to school, and at that point in time, they will need some resources for the kids. I shared with you on last week, week before, that sometimes what they need is not anything that you would get together and send them. They need simply a milking cow. How do you get a milking cow from the United States to Africa? Well, you don't. What you do is you take the resources that come in and you contact someone who has that cow, and you purchase it for the school, for the orphanage, for that ministry, so that they can continue to do the work that they need to do. In so doing, then we're able to be a support to them. Now, someone said, well, if all they need is a cow, why don't they just go get one? Well, if it was that easy, they would already have one. Amen? So when we come to you, we ask you to help, because it is needed. Now, let's get into this word. I believe that that the Lord will touch your hearts and you will respond to the Spirit. Today we want to get into the Word of God, and we're going to start at Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and we're going to start at the 15th verse. Matthew. We thank God for those of you who join us from week to week. We look at our stats and see that we're not preaching to the four walls and the winds, but to the nations. And we appreciate you being there with us and for us. Pray God's blessing upon your lives. Amen. Now, reading from the New King James Version, Matthew 7 and 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit." Everybody say, "By their fruit."
By their fruit.
"You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." You see that? Huh? "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Lord, add a blessing to the reading of this word. Go with me also over to Ephesians 4 and 11. Having a conversation the other day, someone asked about the apostle and what the apostle actually does. And if you don't understand the purpose of a thing, then you can misappropriate that. Amen. And that's what the enemy has done too often, because people didn't know what it was. They began to misuse it. Amen. Amen. Let's start the 11th verse. It says, and he gave himself some to be apostles. Everybody say some. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. So there's a job that we have. There is an assignment that we've been given. And when we begin to deal with the job that we have and the assignment that we've been given, it becomes very apparent early that we aren't doing what we've been sent to do. There's too many people trying to set up ministries and set up churches and other things so that they can promote their own ideals and get up on their own soapbox at any time and do whatever they feel. But they really aren't here for kingdom work. And the thing about kingdom is that it really includes you, but it excludes you. What do I mean by that? It includes you because you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the family of God. Amen. But it excludes you because you become nothing because he becomes everything. In other words, you decrease so we can only see him. You see that? When we see too much of you, then you are showing up. And what we have is too many people trying to build the kingdom of I and me. Slap a little Jesus name on it, a little Christ on there. Speaking, they have a lingo down. They say kingdom this. They say will of God. They say this is God's doing. But guess what? Everything that says Jesus is not Christ. Amen. The Bible lets us know that there are many who will be out who are false apostles and false prophets and false teachers. And this isn't a popular message because what it does is it tells you that before you ascribe to any ministry, any church, before you start following, you need to check the fruit of that church. Check the fruit of that ministry. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just ask the question, have you checked the tree yet? I know that's the because we go to churches that we've always gone to. We get comfortable. We become the head of this auxiliary. We become the person who is taking care of this. And for 50 years, I've been doing the same thing in church. But you don't evangelize. You don't go out and do anything else as it relates to the kingdom of God. Amen. Because you're comfortable in your job. Well, my question to you is that the assigned job that God gave you, or did you find something to do to keep busy? Most of the time, we'll find that people doing stuff just to be busy. Your assignment is what drives you. Amen? Now, let's look at it for what it is here. We begin to look at this, and it says at the very beginning, it says, beware of false prophets. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. We begin to share some of the signs of false prophets, amen, and false apostles, amen. And as we begin to look at them, we begin to see that there are certain things that they do, certain things that they say. We have looked at this prosperity theology that has been permeating the body of Christ. Many people walking around talking about the way for you to prove that you are called by God is that you have to display great amounts of wealth. You have to live an opulent lifestyle. Look at your neighbor and tell them the apostles didn't do that. They didn't do that. You look at each one of them. They were in prison. They died martyrs' deaths. Huh? Paul, who wrote majority of the New Testament, spent his time running from city to city, jumping over walls and trying to escape people who wanted to hurt him and kill him to preach this gospel. It's interesting to me that people who call themselves apostles today would do anything to keep from looking bad. I don't understand how an apostle today can't go through anything. Hello, somebody. Tell me that you're a man, a woman of God, and the first time somebody put your name in their mouth, the first thing you're trying to do is rebuke them. Well, guess what? If they talked about Jesus, if they lied on him, if they smote him and said, tell us who hit you. You see that? If they scourged him, if they falsely accused him, and if they crucified him, and you're a follower of Christ, how come you can't take the very basic of any of that? Lord, help us. Now, let me put this into some further perspective. In the news this week, we've been watching how the Supreme Court has moved to take away the civil rights that it took so long for us to get as minorities. But yet and still, the same day, within a few hours, validated same-sex marriage. Y'all see that? What's happening is in this land, we're watching a shift. We're watching a transition. And those of us who stand for true holiness, we're going to be put through some stuff. Amen? See, we have to be realistic. Your rights are being taken away from you. But the rights of things that you have stood for years are now being validated by those who are taking away those rights. Do y'all see that? Same-sex marriage, when it came out, the church stood up and said, that's not godly. Marriage is between a man and a woman.
Amen. So let's look at this then. The technical difficulty. We lost the feed, but that's okay. There's always a backup to the backup. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at this. 1 Timothy 6, 3rd verse. It says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus, to the doctrine which accords to godliness. Look at your neighbor and say godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, revelings, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is the means of gain. Look at your neighbor and say, first sign.
First sign.
When there's no truth being preached, but there's always an offering being taken. Hello, somebody? Huh? Whenever you turn around and they're trying to find a way to make what's yours theirs. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a good sign right there.
That's good.
Huh? Because when you see that, what you're looking at is somebody who's focused on their personal gain and not kingdom expansion. Amen? Huh? Useless wrangling of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is the means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. For godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. You see that? And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Well, let's read the 8th verse. And having food and clothing, with these shall we be content. Amen. Y'all can read down through the 10th verse on your own time. But the point that I need to make is simply this. When we have false prophets, false apostles, false pastors, false teachers, amen, false evangelists, they'll be first thing first looking for filthy lucre, amen. Everything that they want will be about their game and never about your game. I was having a conversation with one of our members, and I said, listen, you'll know the truth of who you are should you ever come into a great amount of money. My job is to give you the proper way to invest that and help you out, amen? Because as you grow, we grow. Amen? You see that? But if I was at the wrong place with the wrong mind and I saw you come into a great amount of money, then the first thing I would try to do is try to get you to give me all of that money, because it was never about your growth. It was about your finance. Hello? See, Reverend Ike, if I can go there, Reverend Ike and some of those other ones, Daddy Grace, y'all understand? Reverend Ike and Daddy Grace and them had the saying, and I remember this. Someone said, if I played the lottery and I won the lottery, is it wrong? And he said, no, not if you give it to the church. I know that's set wrong with me, and I know it's set wrong with somebody else. If it's set wrong with you, just wave your hand a little bit. Because if God blessed me with something, he blessed me with it. Right. Now, I'm responsible for tithes and offerings. Amen? Amen? Because that's increase. Amen? That's what the word says. But it didn't say 100%. And what they were doing was they were talking people out of their earnings. But they wasn't using the word properly. They had Daddy Grace in the church and all of that. They had it because they saw it as a means to gain wealth. We just read it, didn't we? Huh? You run into a real man or woman of God, they're going to be talking about your soul. They're going to be talking about your development. They're going to be trying to push you forward. They're going to try to make sure that your life and your quality of life is increased, because you stand forward and you move forward in the things of God. Amen? That's what you're going to see. And that's why we have to go over here to Ephesians 4 and 11. Amen? Because you have to understand that if you're going to develop, God has set those in place who will help you to develop. Amen? And if you're going to develop and you're going to be helped to develop, you have to understand what the difference is between a real, so that you'll see what a fake is. Amen? Let's read it here. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Look at your neighbor and say, are you being equipped? Someone asked him, are you being equipped? Because, again, we run into people who go to churches that they have gone to all their life. My mama went there. My grandmother went there. My daddy started this church. My grandfather was the pastor of this church, and our family has been at this church since the 1800s. But guess what? If you are in God and you're in Christ and God is calling you forward, then you have to be able to shift and move with the Spirit. Amen? The Bible says it very clearly. It says the tradition of your forefathers have made the gospel of no effect. In other words, whenever the gospel comes to challenge you and to change, you go back to what we've always done.
True.
You see that? When it tells us what we need to be doing, we go back to where we've always. And the Lord is trying to get you to understand and to see that what you've always done has always gotten you the same always result. And if you're not happy where you are, you know that to get something new, you got to do something new. Amen? Huh? We can't keep making excuses for bad behavior. Amen?
Yeah.
God is trying to challenge us into the next and into the new. And we refuse to move because we don't want nobody to look at us funny. We're trying to make sure everybody is still friendly with us. Listen, if it means you getting up or me getting up for us to make it, if you have to get up for me to make it, I'm going to push you. Amen? Because I know I'm going to make it too. And vice versa, if I have to get up so you can make it, you should be pushing me. Amen? So we can make it. Now, when we make it, our job is to reach back and help others to make it too. I've shared with you before, there are things that you go through in your life that have nothing to do with you. You went through it because it was God's plan, knowing down the road you were going to get to a situation where you would have to use the knowledge of going through that to help somebody else get through. Amen? Huh? And if that is the case, then, see, tests and trials, sickness in your body, the hardships you have to go through, your money doesn't always come in right. God still makes a way for you when you run into other people now who are going through tests and trials and sickness in their body, and their money isn't always right, and they're going through financial situations. You can still have a testimony that God cares, God will deliver, God will bring you out. God is still a God of today. Amen? And if God is a God of today, then that means that he cares about us. That's why you have to be able to be equipped for the work of ministry. You see that? That's what the job of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher is to equip you. Amen? If you go to church and you 10, 15, 20 years, you get at point A, then you at the wrong church, baby. Huh? Because you should be equipped to help others come and progress. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let me give you a visual here. If we're standing at the door and people are trying to get in and you're standing at the door, if you don't move, then there's going to be a pressure right there, isn't it? You're going to be pushed inside by the people trying to get inside. Which means that if you came into the body of Christ and the Christianity and you're still at the doors and you're blocking some people who need to get in, there should have been a push from behind you to go forward. Amen? And when you went forward, those who were behind you would have came in behind you. Look at your neighbor and just tell them there's some people that you have to get. And I mean that. There's some people that you have to get. Mother used to say it to us like this. There's some people on your path that I have no voice in their ears. Amen? I don't have influence in their ear to lead them to Christ. But you have influence. That means that you have to be upon your job. You got to be on your assignment. You got to be pushing the agenda of the kingdom of God. Amen? And while you're doing that, then God will lead you to other people who you have influence for. Amen? But in order for you to be successful at that, you have to be equipped properly. So, first of all, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Number two, for the edifying of the body of Christ. No one wants to belong to something that tears them down and never edifies them. Amen? See, we have to understand that you don't go to church so that, you know, you can be beat down and told what all you've done wrong. Every once in a while, there should be some praise. Every once in a while, there should be some testimonials. There should be somebody talking about what God did and how he brought them out so that when you begin to go through, you'll know that if God brought them out, God can bring me out. Brothers and sisters in leadership, let me speak to you right now, because some of you right now don't want to go through anything because you don't want anybody to see you having to deal with anything. So you try to act like you never went through anything. Try to act like you never had a deviant thought. You never had a past, a background. You ain't never smoked. You ain't never drank and got high. You ain't never ran over and became a womanizer or a manizer, depending on how you look at it. Amen? But the truth be told, that if the Lord didn't catch you, some of us came from some backgrounds. Lord Jesus, please don't tell anybody about who I was before Christ came. I'm in my 33s. I'm done with my 30s, amen. If I go back to my teen throughs and my 20 earlies, amen, and we start talking about who I was, you probably wouldn't think that I could stand here and say anything. But God, look at your neighbor and say, don't look at him like that, because you got a past too. Oh, yeah, yeah. Some of you were cute back in the day, and you tried to make sure everybody knew it. You walked the walk, and you talked the talk, and you tried to look like you. See, don't. Why y'all make me have to go here? Don't make me. I'm going there anyhow. See, this is the problem. Some of you act like I wasn't doing nothing. But if we go into Genesis, we can talk about Tamar, who happened to sit over there and wait on Judah. See, you wasn't doing nothing but sitting there, but you knew where to sit. Hello, somebody. And you knew what to wear, because she took off her widow's garb and put on. I'm going to leave that alone. Amen? Because when we go back to our past, why did I go through that? I was sharing with my wife, and I told her, I said, you know, the reason why we can see our son do something is because we used to do the same thing. Am I telling the truth? Well, we can catch you, because I see you sneaking around, looking around the corner. That's the same corner I looked around. I saw how you snuck around it, because I snuck around it like that. And, you know, on the other side, we'll be standing there talking about where you going. How did they catch me? I thought I was slick. Yeah, I thought I was slick when I was younger trying to do the same thing. Amen? Now, let's put that in a spiritual sense. There's some things that the enemy has tried to fool you with now that he tried to fool us with then. You see that? So when I come into this word and I begin to deal with you and I begin to cover and love on you as a spiritual father, as the apostle of the Most High God, and I begin to do the assignment that he's given me, the Lord will show me some things that I went through as it relates to your life. The reason why I went through it is so that you don't have to go into it. Also, you don't have to go through it. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to listen now. Edifying means that we strengthen, amen? The word edify simply means building up. Y'all see that? So my job then is to do everything to build up the body of Christ. I want to be equipped to do it because I'm going to do the will of God that he called me to do. The work that he's given me for the work of ministry. Amen. If you're standing on the corner and you just happen to walk around and give a quarter to everybody and tell them this ain't much, but I want you to know that a little seed goes a long way. And the Lord loves you. And somebody say, you know, I took that and that used to bless me and now I'm doing, guess what? That was your job. That was your work. Amen. Huh? And the next thing is when you come in, we need to be able to build you up. Amen? If I see you about to make a mistake, I can't sit back and say, well, that's just you. I'm going to mind my own business, not in this body. Amen? My job is to help you. Amen? You see that? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Unity of the faith. Look at your neighbor and say, do you believe? I think a lot of us have a level of belief until it challenges our comfort zone. And then our belief becomes skepticism. Amen? Oh, Lord, I give it all to you. I want that. Ooh, Jesus. Lord, you just don't have to work on me there. He said, thank you for all that you've given me. Now I want what you won't give me. Isn't it interesting that we feel that we've given God everything, but there's still some left? And it is in those areas that God begins to challenge us. Huh? Huh? So when he challenges us, because he knows that this is where the enemy is going to test us. Amen? Quickly, we go back to Genesis, the third chapter, we begin to see the testing of Adam and Eve. Amen. And Eve is beguiled by a serpent, and she looks like she's going to pass it because he says, "Hath not God said?" And she corrects him. No, the Lord said this. And then he said, "Well, God really didn't mean that." Now, that's the acid test. Do you really believe God? And if you really believe God, can you hold on to that belief even when things look different? Because he began to change her perspective of that word. You understand? What God said was absolute. It was sure. There was foundation in that word. It was going to do what it needed to do. Until the serpent begins to speak. And when the serpent begins to speak, then immediately she begins to have doubts in her mind and begins to think about, well, you know, I do want to be more like Jesus. Isn't it interesting that we will leave what we already have that God ordained to get something that looks like it's great, like God ordained, when the enemy is speaking? Amen? And you'll always understand this because we started off with false prophets. We're still talking about that, amen? Huh? When you'll find something that is God, it'll always lead you through process. It'll always be for your making, amen? See that? It'll always bring you into unity. And into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. See, if I'm in the ministry and I'm dealing with things and it doesn't lead me into the knowledge of God, then I have other problems. See, we got to get to that place where we know him. It used to be that we would say, I'm satisfied with Jesus alone. Mother, we don't sing that anymore. We sing all kind of other songs. Oh, we got wonderful praise teams and everything else, and we have made things so we make things so comfortable that sinners come in our presence and they don't even feel convicted by the power of God, the presence of God. And we got to get back to that, amen, huh? Because that knowledge of the Son of God leads us to what the power is. Look at your neighbor and say, it's in the name of Jesus. Say, it's in the name of Jesus. And if you use the name of Jesus because you have the knowledge of him, then it will lead you into a place where you will be mature. Isn't it interesting that the next words here is to a perfect man? That perfect man deals with your maturity. Amen? To the measure of the fullness of the stature, to the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. So then, now let me go back to our original that we were looking at, because I want you to see this then, amen? Because this is where we really begin to see the problem. The rubber meets the road, amen? Let's go back to that Matthew, amen? Thank God for the word. So, here in the 15th verse, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit." Anything false has the look of, but never has the consistency of the truth. Amen. Let me see if there's anyone out there who understands this. Mother, do you remember back in the day when we used to get there was milk and then there was that carnation powdered milk or Borden's or whatever it was, came in a box, and they told us that it was real milk. And I don't care how you try to mix it and measure it right, it never was like milk. Am I telling the truth? And that's the same thing when we begin to look at this fake and false as opposed to the real. There's what we've been told is real, huh? And it's been marketed. There's been advertisement, amen? There's been everything else that they put out to get you to believe that this is the real deal. But listen, if it didn't come directly from the cow through pasteurization into the refrigerator and then on your in your bowl of milk, I mean your bowl of cereal, guess what? That ain't no milk. It ain't. Amen? Huh? I don't care what the – well, see, what we did is we went through the process and we took out the liquids and that, and when you took all that stuff out, somebody catch me where I'm going, huh? When you took all that stuff out, what it was, it ceased to be. And when we take out of this word and we take out of our relationship the word of God, the name of Jesus, and those things that need to be there, it ceases to be. It has the elements of it, and you can try to throw some water on it, but it's still not the spirit of God. So it has a spirit, but it doesn't have his spirit. Y'all see that? It has a sound, but it doesn't have his sound. It has a purpose, but it doesn't have his purpose. That's why it builds monuments unto men and unto themselves, because that's all that they were trying to do in the first place, amen? They wanted you to understand or think that they were trying to do what needed to be done, but they really had no thought, amen, of doing what God said. Look at this right here. 21st verse. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So now we get down to why it is important to do and be true. You see that? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have we not prophesied in your name? There's going to be a lot of prominent preachers out there who have been on TV and everything else who are going to be in this crowd here. They prophesied and did everything else. Amen? Huh? Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Amen. I like the translation the Message Bible has there. Amen. We talk about it all the time. We read it all the time because I think it's very interesting. Young man told me, he said, if this isn't the will of God, how come it's so big? I said, because, you know, broad is the way to destruction, but narrow is the way to escape. Amen? You have to understand that if God is leading you, he's not always going to lead you through the broad. Sometimes he brings you around through this narrow way. Amen? There's an interesting that Moses didn't find out the fullness of his destiny until he was actually on the backside of the wilderness with some sheep. Then God could talk to him. While he was in Egypt, sitting at Pharaoh's table, eating there, he couldn't hear what he needed to hear. Y'all see that? It wasn't until he got by himself that he got a revelation. Y'all see that? Huh? We see the same thing when we begin to deal with Jacob. Certain other ones. Abraham. Certain other ones. They had that moment in time when they got to themselves and God could speak to them. God is trying to do the same thing today. Amen? And if he's trying to do that, then we can't be swayed by the crowd. What's it say in the Message Bible here? as we close. Thank you, Father. It says, knowing the correct password, for example, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message, we bashed the demon, our God sponsored project had everyone talking. Do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make you yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Brothers and sisters, it is our will that, or our desire that we do the will of God. Not so much that we do it as it relates to what everybody else is doing. There's a lot of people going to be up there talking about, ooh, we did it. It's an interesting, we try to outdo each other, talking about we're the only ones who got a revelation of God. And they'll talk about ain't nobody else got it. But then when we go over to their program, see what they're doing to bring their, what they don't supposed to have back to our own and try to make it work. All this infighting, no wonder the world can't find a true revelation of Christ. Because we're so busy fighting and doing all that with each other that we're not demonstrating and living a life in front of them that they could follow. We got to get this together. Amen? Come on, let's bow our heads. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this message. Lord, it's important for us to understand who we are. You call apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers not to be false. And self-centered and self-serving, but to be those who will equip, who will help edify, those who will help mature and push forward and reveal the true revelation of Christ in the earth. We are your representative. This is what we're supposed to do. Help us to do it now in the name of Jesus without reservation in the name of Jesus. Now, I pray, Lord, for healing, miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest, Lord, throughout the body of Christ. Someone needs a miracle right now. They need to know that you still care. Oh, God, they need to know that you still hear them. Lord, we pray right now that you would move in their lives in the name of Jesus. And if there's anyone who is not saved, Lord, I pray that they would simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-teaching, a Bible-believing church where they can be matured and developed and go on to do the assignments that you've given them to promote and project the kingdom of God in the earth. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to go to our website, www.cpkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, along with Prophetess Crystal McQueen of Christ the King Redemption Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's give God a hand all over the place.